Monday through Friday. At the same time, he's doing his other work.
Bill, are you going to be here for the meeting?
Pardon?
Are you going to be here for the meeting?
I'll be here for the meeting.
And you probably should speak about that under the agenda. I think you know that.
I would be happy to do that.
Well, thank you.
Done.
I'm not done. I'll let
just
you know.
Looking at his papers, yeah.
I clearly haven't used very many minutes of any of this, so. Okay. Let me get back to one other item. Actually, I'll be here to talk when the issue of the half-cent sales tax comes on the board agenda, so I can wait on that as well. The question of the roads is not on the agenda. The issue is when the signage is going to be completed for 88 and Buena Vista and all the other outlying areas. I'm assuming that you had the correspondence from Jared saying it looked like he would have the okays. He was going to sign off on the permits yesterday, I believe is what it was, and then he hoped to begin the process ASAP. And my concern again is ASAP needs to be ASAP, or otherwise we'll be in the middle of winter. So that's it for now. Thank you.
Fair enough. Thank you, Bill.
Thanks.
Any other members of the public?
Hang on a second. I'll be out of your way. Whoops.
That's a lot of paperwork, Bill.
Well,
you need
is.
A secretary just for these meetings.
I tried, but my wife refuses.
You got a pretty smart wife.
Oh, well, she wasn't. She married me.
John Campbell.
Morning, John.
I'm in Creek, California. I came here to ask Greg hypotheticals, actually. So, Fermi's paradox. You familiar?
By the way, congratulations on Citizen of the Year.
Oh, thank you. That was they ran out of people to vote for, so they're like, John's it this year.
Boy, everybody has a good sense of humor this morning, so.
I'd like to speak about the pressing matter that's going to be affecting Amador County as early as tonight, PG&E shutoffs. I think it's ridiculous what's happening. I think that we need to probably write a letter of condemnation to PG&E. I'd also like to see this board address the governor and say, this is unacceptable and untenable, just shutting off power arbitrarily. I mean, the last windstorm that they predicted was about 2 miles an hour. I mean, it was not anywhere near the 15 to 20 or whatever that they said was their threshold for shutting down power. And 48 hours after the fact of their predicted windstorms to be going back and looking at their lines. I mean, Fiddletown didn't have power until Saturday and Sunday.
That
was
my real heartburn. If you got 40-mile-an-hour winds coming, hey, I can understand that maybe. But if it's a non-event, and that was where I had real heartache.
The CEO addressed the Public Utilities Commission the other day and said, well, this is a 10- to 15-year process, and we'll probably get used to it. And that's just not acceptable in 2019 in California. I mean, you guys have appointed an economic development director. I mean, on top of draconian taxes, draconian regulation, now if you're going to move here, you got to think they don't have a reliable power grid any longer. You know, that's a real concern for us. I mean, if I'm looking at moving to somewhere like Amador County, it's a real problem. Because if I have 2 weeks of losses a year at minimum, that's crazy. I mean, Ravi at Pokerville, I talked to him the other day. He said he lost $12,000 in groceries during that shutoff. And how many other businesses like that? I couldn't open for days. Half of Cedar Creek didn't get power till Friday afternoon. I mean, that's a real problem. I mean, I just saw, I was reading the Chronicle. They said $2.5 billion of lost economic activity in California during that shutdown. Last night at the press conference with PG&E, they told a reporter that they really don't know how many people are medically dependent of having power. Because when the reporter pressed the CEO and she said, how come you say this many people are your baseline customers, but the registration's almost three times higher? at the federal and state level. I mean, they don't even know what they're doing. It's just law enforcement. I talked to a cop the other week, and then I said, well, what's happening here? Did this really have an effect? And he said, well, as soon as there's no power and people know there's no cameras, there's no real anybody watching, then the criminals are going to start breaking into things, and they're going to start stealing stuff. So we have a law enforcement. In fact, my wife's a public health nurse. She said, there's only 11 beds at that ER. You have medically dependent people, hundreds of them probably in this county. Where are they going to go, and how are you going to triage them if there is a serious problem or a long-term shutdown? It's just, especially the last shutdown with 2-3 mile an hour winds.
Oh, John, somebody had a reading 5 in Fiddletown.
Yeah, no, it's not a week. I mean, I lived in Fiddletown. Trust me, when your power goes out, you just go, we're going to be the last people in the world to get it back on. So, the middle of our grape harvest, we got grapes in the tanks. We have to do pump overs morning, noon, and night. Now, if you got no power, you're screwed. And there's not a bunch of three-phase generators just sitting out there during things like this to go rent.
Well, being as you brought that up, that's something else interesting, too. You would think California Air Resources Board might say in an emergency like this, people could use old generators or whatever, but that agency has gotten rid of tons of generators out of the state.
Well, plus, it's causing arguments with people. I was out in Comanche the other day in a house with a couple, and one of them needs oxygen at night. And she said, if I wasn't awake at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, you wouldn't have had your oxygen. And then they got into an argument. You know it wasn't. I woke up. So anyway, he's got to have a tank sitting there now, portable, so he's got that oxygen available. Now, hopefully one of them wakes up to make it happen. The other thing, John, I wanted to say, the California State Association of Counties is having a webinar. I just got this yesterday on Wednesday, October 30th, about preparedness for power shutoffs, and it's being done with Cal OES. So,
yeah, I did see that.
Cal OES is participating in telling people how to prepare for this, and they're also saying activating your emergency operations centers, public outreach and education, coordination with state and public utility partners. Well, there's not much coordination with them. They just pull the plug and shut it off. So, and it's affecting a lot of businesses and a lot of people medically.
I think the most condescending thing is when PG&E just uses climate change as an excuse, as if it's not 50 years of dereliction of duty, not maintaining their infrastructure, not doing anything to harden their lines, and giving out bonuses and dividends the whole time. I mean, tens of billions of dollars have been given out in the last decade to dividends and bonuses. While they haven't hardened their lines, now they're going, well, we're not looking back anymore. That's what they say at these press conferences. And then they say, well, climate change, climate change, climate change. That is not something that I believe is the reason for all this. So, and if you took any money from them, donate it to the campfire. That's all I would say. Don't take money from PG&E because it's a dirty group. But thank you.
Thank you, John.
Thank you. Thanks, John.
Morning.
Morning, Mike.
Morning.
Mike Spinetta from Plymouth. And Hawksview, where we get the power last, apparently, when it comes back on.
Did your wife buy you that hat?
Yes, she did. Absolutely. So, and she also wants me out buying a generator today instead of talking. So I might have to do that after this. So I wrote a long diatribe about PG&E's abuse of climate science becoming a type of art-like political climate social science experiment. But instead, I will fulfill a promise I made to our daughter Lucy during prayers last night when she asked us to say something to PG&E. And so I'm going to use your form as a conduit. She wrote this before breakfast this morning. Oh, it's funny. ELP is calling right now talking about whether or not they're going to refund money. I gave them a call. That's the after-school program. We don't know whether or not we're going to be refunded for our what we're putting into it. Speaking of Lucy. Anyway, here's her little letter in her handwriting. I will interpret it. She says, "Dear PG&E, you should keep on the power so kids can learn more. It separates kids from their friends. People are going mad. Their meat goes bad. People have to drive miles away to get gas. And if you still want to turn off the power, please do it on the weekends. Love, Lucy." And you know, in a child's language, you know, maybe accidentally, maybe not, but she speaks to the arbitrariness of the timing. And, you know, I looked at the weather forecast map from the state and where the zones are, where the wind is supposed to be, it's east of us and it's west of us. And, you know, I know that the grid has to come from somewhere and the lines have to come from somewhere, but we're all going to be out on 49, and it's not where the winds are predicted. And it's, you know, we'll deal with it again, and I guess we'll do our best. But I guess I'll post my diatribe online where it can be lost on Facebook somewhere. But meanwhile, thank you for the ear, and hopefully that'll get out to PG&E if someone's listening. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
Steve Christensen, Sutter Creek. Another issue that's I think important to a lot of the people here in Amador County has to do with fire insurance. This is just to let you know that our neighbors just to the north, El Dorado County, is having a fire insurance forum and to discuss alternatives or things that people can do in their county regarding fire insurance for homes and businesses. Involved in this forum is their assemblyman, Kevin Kiley. Also, they've invited Insurance Commissioner Ricardo Lara. He will be there. It's also supported by both the El Dorado County Democrats and Republicans. The Chamber of Commerce of El Dorado County is involved in this, along with the El Dorado County Association of Realtors. And what I was here to ask is that if the Amador County can take the lead in this and try to organize a forum here in Amador County to discuss this issue, invite the Realtors, Chamber of Commerce, and other people who would be interested, Insurance Commissioner Lara, our assemblyman and our state senator, to be here to listen to the public and to get input from the public and also to give information to the public on what people can do who are losing their insurance or having their house insurance and business insurance rates raised. So I would like to see something the Amador County take the lead in this and try to organize some sort of forum to discuss fire insurance.
Well, I can speak a little bit to that. That's in the works. Okay.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Frank.
Sure.
Thank you.
It's it'll be a stakeholder roundtable, so it's I think the focus is to try to get toward directions and solutions.
Both Supervisor Axe and myself are working on that.
One thing I would say, Steve, I think part of the battle is we must undo some of our policies from the last 75 years past, and it's okay to cut a tree. It's okay to clean up your yard, and we need to cut a lot of trees, open up the forest, and that's part of the problem. It's not just insurance companies. Part of it's the situation we're in, too, so... that message needs to be put out by the government, whether it's county, whether it's state, federal, because that's half the problem. Any other members of public?
Hi, my name is Terry Yakish. I'm here in regards to actually a letter that I wrote, and I've already CC'd, and Frank Axe should have received it along with Roseanne Chambers of LAFCO. This board approves the people that serve on the Pine Acres Community Service District board, and I just wanted to make you guys well aware of what's going on there in Pine Acres, and hopefully... enlist some of your or help, I hope. After going to a meeting on 10/17, I realized that it was a lot worse off than I had ever realized. I realized that this board is a volunteer position because nobody ever runs for office and nobody wants to do these positions. So I do appreciate the people that serve on that board. I myself have served on that board in the past. There are certain guidelines that this board must follow, which they are not following. Just a few things is, say, the agenda for the meetings. There was no minutes at the last meeting. They weren't posted either. Financials weren't there. There was no budget to look at. No claims list to look at. Nothing. All these things are very basic at any board meeting. There's so many violations that there's too many to go into. But I made them aware of that night. My biggest concern for that night was they had sent out a vote in the mail to all the people in the district for Pine Acres because they wanted to increase our fees by like $7. And I assure you, $7 is no big deal, and that's the money has nothing to do with why I'm upset about this. In fact, it should be probably more than doubled than that. My issue is with them not going along with the very basic needs of this board, say, for instance, putting meeting and having a little committee as to future projections for the road costs for Pine Acres, et cetera, et cetera. Snow removal, they wanted to take it from $5 to zero. Why you would want to do that, I don't know. They said there's an excess in there for right now. That's fine, but it's not going to be there forever. And then you're going to have to come back to us and say, okay, now you want more money for snow removal. Instead of lessening the amount that they are asking for, say, back it off to $2 instead of $5 and then increasing the admin fee, you know, instead of $12 to $24, et cetera, et cetera. There needed to be some research, some guidance for this board, definitely, because they're just really flying by the seat of their pants. And what upset me most that night was because they did not have enough votes to pull this off that night, there was a couple people in the audience that said, well, can I change my vote then? And Jim Green says, yeah, sure, I don't see any problem with that. I see a huge problem with that, a really big problem. I can't imagine any vote ever taking place in any kind of a district, and then you hold a meeting, and because you don't have the votes that you need to pass what you want to pass, you decide to let people change their votes. As it is, the vote was 37 to 39, so it passed yes. My concern is now that they're going to take this down to the clerk recorder's office and say, okay, we voted, it passed, and now we want it increased by $7, when this is just not in our best interest at all. It needs to be reevaluated, needs to be gone over, and I'm more than willing to do that, but my concern at this point is that they're going to rush to do this instead of making that vote null and void, which it should be, because for a couple of reasons. Even the ballot itself had misleading information on it and absolutely wrong information on it. So it should not take place at all. And I, like I said, I've written the letter and to the board also. I dropped it off at the office. I don't know when that they will get that. I don't know how often they pick up their mail. And I've also made you now aware of this and what's going on and et cetera. So hopefully we can put a stop to this so that we can take a better look at it so that we can do something more responsible than what they've done. And I have a copy of the letter for you, each of you, just in case you didn't get it.
Okay, thank you.
And you sent this to LAFCO as well? Okay.
Thank you.
And thank you for your time.
Thank you.
All right,
sir. Thank you. Any other members of the public? Just a little side note here. Received a letter from Betty E., California State Controller, and what it was, just notifying Amador County that Tacey Onetto Ruin, the auditor controller, had received an award for financial transactions reporting. And goes on, Amador County's excellence in reporting helps state government teams produce accurate and useful local government financial data. And so she received an award for that this year. So, hey, kudos to them. And with that, we're going to move down to our agenda. We have one addendum, and that addendum is this discussion of possible action regarding a request from Tri-County Wildlife and APAL Humane Society to amend the CC&Rs for a parcel located at 12351 Trade Center Drive. And we'll put that down as on our regular agenda as item 5E. And also on the consent agenda, I'd like to pull item 7I, and we'll vote on it just for on them, just for discussion. We'll take them all as one when we do the vote, though. Any other items boards like to have pulled? Okay.
Who'd approve the agenda with the addition?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Carries unanimous. Next, we have the consent agenda. I'd like to have pull item 7I for discussion. In base, it's probably more of a complaint on my part. And what this is old building a bridge over Willow Creek down in Carbondale. It's kind of interesting. As you look, and they're building a bridge where there's been bridges. A bridge has been there for years. And people wonder where road money goes. And we have to do wetland mitigations. It's to buy 0.14 of an acre, so a little over a tenth of an acre of floodplain mosaic wetland credits for $21,000. And they're buying that from the Cosumnes Floodplain Mitigation Bank. And earlier they discussed doing some mitigations, and it looked like Colusa Basin had a mitigation bank, Grassland Mitigation Bank, Smud Nature Preserve, and they were talking rates from $200,000 to $150,000 per acre. And when you buy it, you don't even buy the ground. You're just buying a – you can buy a wetlands mitigation credit. You can buy a – probably a fairy shrimp credit. You can buy a giant garter snake credit. You can buy all kinds of credits, so much quotes per acre. And it's just kind of it really irritates me, because part of the deal was in one of our other items. Where were we hearing that? It talks about, oh, a George Reed deal. One second, and bear with me. Humor me for a minute. This is kind of interesting. On item 5A, which Mr. Bill May, who was here, Bill will appreciate this. There's a letter here from the Department of the Army, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, and they're talking about the need to go to a six-day work week, 10 hours a day. And this is important to complete the work as scheduled to avoid impacting endangered species in their habitat. So, Bill, we're going to impact you for endangered species in their habitat. Just like to know that, because they want to get this work done by schedule to avoid impacting the endangered species in their habitat. So humans don't count. We're going to impact you. That's all. That was my gripe. With that, I'm okay with approving the consent agenda. I just thought people ought to know that, hey, that's and it's something the county must do under getting the federal grant. Yes, sir.
So what is the amount that we're going to put toward the...
$21,000.
$26,000 or something like that.
$21,000 for
okay.
a little over one-tenth of a credit per acre.
Oftentimes, also, these mitigation fees go to non-governmental organizations and nonprofits with a political agenda. So you have to transfer tax dollars to these, you know, crusaders and non-governmental organizations that often push forward in a political agenda.
Oh, absolutely. And this is a small potatoes type project. There's some where you're talking in the millions. Sorry, John.
I believe in Marin County, if you get fined for some sort of environmental impact, it goes 100% to a non-governmental organization that just takes the money. Instead of going to the county, it goes to a NGO.
Oh, it's not just Marin. It's a lot of
pretty asinine.
A lot of places that happens. With that, we have a consent agenda in full.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries unanimous. With that, moving on to regular agenda, item 5A is Planning Department discussion of possible action relative to request from George Reed Incorporated, Jackson Valley Quarry, on behalf of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, to haul rock from Jackson Valley Quarry on Saturday, beginning October 5th, 2019, through November 30th, 2019. The contractor is being asked to work 5 days a week, five-day weeks, 10-hour days. However, the time on Saturdays will run from 6 a.m. to roughly 2 p.m. And with that, I think we'll probably take comments right off the bat.
Bill May. George Reed can do that work at the same time they're doing their other operations Monday through Friday, 5 days a week. There's absolutely no reason that they can't handle it. The money they're making, hey, they could probably give the board a big rebate, but because they're making tons of money. It's ridiculous to think that they have to not only... Now, understand that the overlay, overlay that the county is going to put in, that's going to be very disruptive to the citizens in Jackson Valley in any event. I understand that it's needed, and it's hard to argue, although we are going to be very much impacted during the week with that work. Now, to add insult to injury, George Reed wants to screw up our Saturdays by running that operation. I say the board should say, George, no. You make enough money. You can continue and do those operations Monday through Friday, 5 days a week, and you'll still make out like bandits. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Sherman and Netto, they've already started, right? October 5th?
Yes.
Okay. So
the way it works is a request like this, an emergency operations can come in, it's like the board chair, and the board chair can approve it.
That's what I
but
read.
At the next meeting, it has to go before a full board for discussion and kind of air it out.
And how many trips a day do we know that they're making?
It said in here, I think.
Said the 30, hours of operation.
35 to 40 trips.
George Reed, so I could let you know that it's...
All right.
Okay.
I'm Kathy Williams.
Could you speak right into the mic, please?
I'm Kathy Williams, and I'm with George Reed.
There you go.
It isn't necessarily to benefit George Reed themselves. It's a contracted job at the Feather River. It's a large phased work that they're doing for American River. And... they have time frames that are federally funded, and so that's why the contractor asked. I think Brian put in here that with 5 days a week, it's actually 6 days. That Saturday makes 6 days, not 5 days a week. They're going to try to haul 6 days a week, 10-hour days. It would only impact the public. We'd be open at 6. The last round of trucks would be there before 2. We did it as a temporary basis on last Saturday, and they were done by 1:30, they turn off of Highway 88, and it affects 2 houses prior to getting to the quarry gate. And that's the trucks don't go down the road any further than our plant. And it's 30 to 40 trucks.
Thank you.
No production. There's no production on the quarry whatsoever. It's strictly loading trucks and weighing them out.
Any possibility you could start later on a Saturday than 6 a.m.?
If we can start later, it's just a matter of getting 2 rounds in on the truck so that it will go later at the day, at the end of the day.
And would so this...
started at 7.
I would think this would not be running on Thanksgiving?
No, absolutely not. The dates that were asked for by the Army Corps of Engineers is a worst-case scenario. The contractor himself I've spoke to, and they're really not looking to go past the second week in November, but they have to put this in the paperwork in case something glitches.
It would be nice, whatever we approve today, it would be nice to have a progress report come about halfway through the project to give us an estimated completion date.
Sure. I'm in contact with the contractor daily, so I can give you the progress report whenever you require it. But they definitely will not be open Thanksgiving weekend for the 4 days, Thursday. We're not open Thursday or Friday. And so that was something that I spoke to the contractor about prior to, and he agreed with that. And then when he gave me his update, he said that they should be done with their progress because they have so many tons that they're taking out each day, so slated for what he's taking each day. And the pattern that they're doing, they should be done with hauling the rock by the second week in November because the project itself has to be done by the 30th.
If the contractor feels they're going to be done ahead of schedule, and I realize they have to put the time frames in, then why is it necessary to run on Saturdays for half day, basically?
It's the time frame of the rest of the work that's being done because it's not just a matter of the rock. It's a matter of the grade being ready. They have to have, it's everything that we've talked about prior to this, they have to have arborists in to approve a tree being pruned. Then they have to do surveys in between the stages of the rock being hauled. They have to do a survey, and it's called soil-filled quarry stone. So they're dropping the quarry into the water, into the Feather River. They're putting the rock in, and it's the large rock goes in first and comes builds itself up with the small rock to the top. Then they put the dirt over the top and seed it. So it actually creates, like, habitat for birds and wildlife and everything that goes west because it's a river.
Yeah, I think you're probably looking. I'm sure you probably have the trucks all come in waves. You probably have a bunch in the morning. You probably have.
It's actually, yeah, they're we call them rounds, and it's two rounds. So they do come in waves. It's not. It's probably, you know, six or seven trucks at a time, but it's relatively quick. The morning is the biggest push. And then they pretty much stay in sync with each other, and when they get down to the grade, they jump and turn around and loop it right back.
You know, Richard asked about if they could start a little bit later. Would you want to, I mean, I'm okay with putting an earlier time, but could you check in with a contractor and see could they come later and work a little bit later? Would that work better, Richard, you think?
Because if by later, are you looking like at 7?
7.
Okay.
It's daylight at 7, and then...
Well, if they start at 7, the trucks are going to be lined up there at 6. That's just the way they do it.
They will.
So
I mean, I would admittedly say that.
That's the problem with, say, start at 7. The trucks will be lined up there at 6 in the morning.
And that, in that respect, it becomes an issue in that it's sub-haulers, so that a lot of them come from... These are all coming from the Sacramento area because their end haul is the Sacramento area. So they get there in time to get loaded with the traffic, and even though Saturday doesn't have traffic, every day has traffic anymore. So, and we comply as often as much as we have to. We've rerouted our plan on the plant where we can get the trucks off of the roadway so they're not piled up on Jackson Valley. But when they come on a onslaught like that, and if the gate's closed and it's not unlocked at that time, they'll pull off into Borth Vineyard on the side there.
I would think an 8 o'clock start on Saturday might be better because you know the trucks are going to be rolling in an hour before. I know that might impact your operations a little bit, but it might help the residents.
It won't impact the operation, but it will impact the daily traffic because that'll make a later haul, too, for second round. So you're going to go into the 3 and 4 o'clock time. And then you're dealing with, when they get the rock to the other end of it, you're dealing with daylight hours.
You know, yeah. It's a short time period. I think let's leave it like it is, maybe.
Yeah.
Because one problem, too, Richard, the trucks already probably are used to getting there at a certain time. They're trying to get all the trucks and change the time. And it's
not that short a time period, really. 2 months.
Well, it's only
about a month and a little over a month, really. A month and a week, probably.
The time listed is October 5th to November 30th.
Well, that was their listing, but they, of course, did not haul October 5th. But
we've hauled, what, probably 1 week?
Just last weekend, just last Saturday. It's probably hard to perceive it, but 30 to 40 trucks is in order, and if it was going to affect the public, it's pretty minimal. We've had our weekly loadouts have been up to 120 trucks, and that's pretty impactful. So if this Saturday, in argument of doing it on the Saturdays, it actually alleviates because of the time span and weather coming and all that. There's panic in the streets because if it rains, that is what they're fighting to. Once it starts raining, when they have to do this soil-filled quarry stone, when they start putting the soil in, it's no longer dry, and it just causes a whole different issue in its own right. So, and it's not a matter of poor planning on their part. Sacramento County held up permits for like 2 months. It was almost 2 months.
The one thing you said, though, the impact is pretty minimal unless you live there.
Right, right. But the effect is going to be for the trucks themselves. It goes past the first two houses on Jacksonville.
Well, you got the first two houses, but there are people that live past that within range of hearing it pretty easily.
Right. But there's no production.
How about this, Kathy? Can you open your gates earlier and get those trucks in off the road maybe? Would that?
Yeah, we could do that.
That wouldn't hurt.
We could have the trucks come in and load at 7.
Yeah, just get them in off the road and maybe load at... Yeah, load at 7 might work.
But there's no. I know with the residents on that road, you know, I know the blasting affects them, and the operation itself affects them in the noise of it and stuff. But this is strictly loading the trucks.
Well, I've always been pretty favorable to George Reed's request to operate outside of their normal hours of operation because they were true emergencies. This is not something I would really call an emergency. Just because they want to get an erosion control project done. In the past, it's been levee breaks and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an emergency of a different kind. It's just a matter of the time frame and the weather and the delay in the start.
Well, it's an emergency because people didn't plan appropriately on the time that it would take to get it done. So poor planning on their part is not an emergency on our part.
I understand that. Unfortunately, you know, their hands were tied to a certain degree, and Army Corps was the one, you know, requesting that the project be done on time. They're not allowing there to be an extension given the circumstances even.
I just think you need to impress to the Army Corps of Engineers that what I just said, that poor planning on their part is not an emergency.
Well, one of my gripes is that you said it was the County of Sacramento held the permits up for a couple months? Who's that levee protecting? County Sacramento, probably?
It actually protects that whole system, that whole levee system protects all, even down to us, because part of it comes down to Stockton, San Joaquin County. So, and it completely encompasses the town of Marysville. It's a pretty large levee system.
And I'll say this. We're having fire problems, and you look at all, as a community, I think we need to wake up and realize a lot of this regulatory stuff is something that's literally killing us.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know when that'll happen, but you think it would happen already by now. Do you think maybe get the gates open, get the trucks in, and start loading at 7, and they're off the road that way, not lined up?
I can tell you that we've last Saturday, we had the trucks loaded and out, all of the trucks loaded and out by 9 o'clock, then there's no sound, no noise whatsoever till they come back for the second round. And then the second round was out by 1:30.
So there's really two time periods of intense activity.
They make two rounds in a day. So, yeah, just two time periods.
And those time periods are about what, to load about 2 hours or?
Yeah, depending on. Yeah, 2 hours is a safe time.
Is there any members of the public I'd like to comment on this? I think John. Well, we'll take Bill first. You were earlier, John, but he was up before you were. So.
So, Kathy, do you live around the area?
I sure do. I
That's a little ways away. I live right across the street from George Reed. I hear their racket, their blasting every day of the week. They are not good neighbors. I have told them that, and I will continue to tell them that. The fact is, you don't have... I'd like to be able, because during the week, with the blasting and all, 6 o'clock in the morning, every morning, as I walk out the door to walk my dog down to get my paper, George Reed is operating. You hear the rumbling, rumbling, gumbling. Okay? So now I need to hear it again Saturday mornings when I might like to sleep in a little bit and, you know, be away from the noise. So, I don't know. Like I say, George Reed is not a good neighbor.
Bill, can I ask you a question before you leave? The estimate was they think they're going to be done a week or two sooner. Would you rather have the work done sooner and have them operating on Saturday, or have the work extend later? And it sounds like they may not even be able to do that with the contract that they have.
That's a damned if you do, damned if you don't question to try to answer. Richard, the fact is, my wife and I and other neighbors in Jackson Valley have to put up with Reed on a regular daily basis. It would be, in my opinion, better to get it done a lot quicker, but don't start operating moving the shifting around at 6 a.m. You can let us sleep in a little ways, maybe 8 o'clock or whatever, or 7. But in any event, thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
I like the rock. I'll say that. Plus, Bill, when did you get your house? Buy your house.
You got to speak in the microphone.
When did you buy your house, Bill?
Years ago.
But how many years ago?
Well, let's not.
Well, I'm just curious. Hey, I mean, Brian, the plant's been there for a very long time.
Come on,
we will.
Greenstone looks.
Hey, John.
John, come on. Let's not cross-examine somebody just
for
their opinion.
Fair enough. But I just wanted to say that a couple weeks ago, going back to PG&E and George Reed, we weren't sure if we were going to have lights on for the amateur football game. And my brother called George Reed, and they brought up 6 light poles. So I will comment that they are pretty good neighbors. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, John. Any other members of public? Just a little comment for myself. I understand where you're coming from, Bill. I got a quarry. It's what, probably 3/4 of a mile from my house, and I know when it's time to get up. I hear him start working. I would like to do the whole what they're asking for, but I'd also request Kathy, if you could start at 7, see if that'll work, and try that. I think it should, but, and I mean, give it an earnest, tell them 7, and if you have to, you can go to 6, but don't tell them you can go to 6, because they're going to want to go to 6. But try 7, I think that would help. And you have those gates open earlier, and maybe tell them you want the trucks in the quarry off that road, not sitting out in front of Mr. Bors' house.
Make sure the truckers know that, because even if you say 7, they're going to be showing up at 5:30 or 6 o'clock in the morning, and if they can show up closer to the start time, that'd be great to at least accommodate the people that live in the area to not get too much noise. But as Bill said, you're kind of damn if you do, damn if you don't. So.
And I will say, it kind of chaps my height a little bit. It seemed like the endangered species in their habitat trumps humans anymore, but I guess humans have made that choice, and until we change our minds a little bit, that's how it is.
One more thing. I think we need to, and George Reed really needs to be cognizant of this in the future, of what constitutes an emergency. This is sure skirting the line of whether it does or not. True emergencies in the past have been levee breaks and things like that. So.
You have a point there. I understand that, yeah. Any other members of the public? Seeing none. Board?
Well, I'll go ahead and make the motion to approve the this emergency situation with a revised start time of, what did we decide, 7?
I thought we'd leave the time at 6 by requesting them to start at 7.
Well, Saturday would be 7 to 3 then.
7 to
I
3?
I would think.
I'd like to leave it open if they need that time. It will work for them. I'd like them to, we'll give them the 6, but we'd like them to start at 7.
Okay.
If it won't work, then they can go back to 6, but I'd like them to try 7. Earnestly.
But then we're changing it to 3 p.m. then.
Right.
Correct.
We'll take the same length of time.
So off the road at 6 when they get there, start at 7 to 3?
On Saturday.
We're going to authorize from 6 to 3. We'll authorize from 6 to 3. So we'll okay that, but our request is start later.
Okay. All right.
Would that work?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, it'd be 6 to 6 normally on weekdays, but 7 to 3 on Saturday. Right?
But they're going to have to get the gates open. They'll still have the trucks rolling.
With the
in.
Gates open to allow the trucks to come in off the road
at 6 a.m.
Yeah. And what I was looking at is we'd authorize 6 in the morning, but request them to start at 7 and see if that'll work for them.
No, because why are you. If you say 6, they're going to be there at 5, lining up.
Okay, then you want to go from 7 to 3?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, I'll revise my motion and have the time from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m.
On Saturday.
On Saturdays.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Carries unanimous. Thank you. Next item up is item 5B. This is administrative agency. Our resolution approving a property tax distribution agreement between the City of Sutter Creek and Amador County for annexation of 0.86 acres of the Bowers property for extension of Independence Drive. The property being annexed is right-of-way and generates no tax. The values in the agreement are zero.
Mr. Chairman, this is a standard property tax distribution agreement between us and Sutter Creek, or a resolution of that agreement. It typically does involve money, but in this case it was pretty simple. This actually probably should have been on the consent agenda, but it's here now. So any questions? Simple, straightforward.
No, I did hear one thing about it. I had a question. I guess they're saying it will allow the school buses to access this road and come out at the light intersection rather than trying to get on the ridge road, which is a little bit questionable at times. So that part's good. Any members of the public like to address this matter? Seeing none.
I'll make a motion to approve the resolution approving the property tax distribution agreement between the City of Sutter Creek and the County of Amador for 0.86 acres on the Bowers property.
A second.
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Carries unanimous. Item 5C is discussion of possible action relative to an update from the ad hoc committee Onetto and Axe regarding discussion with the cities and the placement of sales tax measure on upcoming ballot.
Okay. I wrote a brief memo, which I had distributed to the board members and CAO, so I don't know if it's available to the public, but that can be incorporated. But basically, the committee has met twice.
Quick clarification, Frank. You said you don't know if it's available to the public. You don't know the public. Well, it would be available if anybody wants it.
Yes. Yeah, it'll be incorporated in the minutes.
Okay.
So the ad hoc committee met twice since our last discussion here, and it was decided by the committee to prepare a white paper to describe really the main features of the tax measure and to provide really the financial justification for the measure. This will include, but it's not limited to, the 2015 countywide pavement management study, and the county's portion is on the website. And the other jurisdictions had a similar pavement management study performed around the same time. And what are the costs associated with bringing their roads up to a condition of good? So there's numbers for that. And then try to give a funding breakdown by jurisdiction. So that will include the use of both the state highway user tax account funds as well as SB1 funding for road repair and maintenance only. Okay, so SB1 is restricted for road repair and maintenance, so pavement management. Whereas the HUDA is more general. That's a general gas tax. And so not all those funds necessarily go directly toward road repair and maintenance. So we need to break out the portions of those that go for road repair and maintenance and then compare that to what the costs are for bringing our roads up to a condition of good over a period of 20 years. The apportionment scheme and revenues will also, and projected revenues would be included, and there may be some discussion of modifying that in light of some of the results we've been seeing. Also, the costs associated with the measure that was asked for, I can comment a little bit on that today. And then, what can be done as far as outreach and promotional strategy, and then hopefully frequently asked questions. In addition to the white paper, a PowerPoint presentation is also being prepared for basically outreach to local community organizations and groups. And just a comment on the costs associated with the measure internally by county departments, elections, the auditor's department, and county council, there would be no additional costs other than staff time, provided that it's on a general ballot. The measure is on a general ballot, so like the 2020 November ballot, for example. The costs associated with educational materials, which may include a literature website, Facebook, polling, whatever. That could all vary. So that could go from fairly minimal to larger. But we will try to include that, and that's really up to the various governing boards what they want to do in regards to that. So that's really all I have at this point. Until we have our defining document, then we can discuss it.
So assuming that this is placed on the ballot, the costs of the educational material and other things would be split between the partners?
Yes, I think that's been discussed, and I think that's understood. As far as setting up a website, we could actually do something here at the county. I don't think that that would be an expensive cost, or something could be done hosted on a separate site. The literature could, hopefully the white paper could provide a basis for some of the literature. And then it really depends on what people really want to do. Do they want to, go further than that? And the outreach to groups and organizations will help build any kind of consensus or support for a kind of a grassroots campaign.
Did you ever find out whether the self-help tax the state has been looking at is still under a pilot program, has moved forward?
I looked into it a little bit. There was a study done earlier, and that was completed, and then there was new legislation, I think, circa 2017, and there wasn't a whole lot of information on that, so I didn't find any results from the more current study, but that is something that we need to probably include in the frequently asked questions so that your concerns will be adequately answered.
Like I said, self-help, it pays your drive is what it was, the pilot.
That's right, pays your drive. And that's probably the way things will go eventually, but I think that that's a kind of a nuanced technological approach that some kind of gizmo is going to have to be put in your car to measure your mileage or something. So that requires people, I don't know, either that being uploaded somehow to be recorded or measured. And I think that's probably the main problem right now. But as more electric cars occur and as fuel efficiency increases, then that's going to be the way to go. However, that doesn't change the fact that we've had a deficit for some time, so we are playing some catch-up.
Is there any members of the public like to address this item?
I should have sent my comments to the rest of the board, but I only directed them to Brian and Frank. I can get them to the rest of the board. But basically, I don't know if the board is aware that Newsom ripped off half of the money that, more or less, it was going to go to roads and diverted it to other projects that he had in mind. I don't know if you folks do that or not, but he did. Going to raid the SB1 funds, which was the reason how they've backing up Proposition 6 would have repealed SB1, and the proponents were going along great until the governor stepped up and said, no, 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 no. We'll never take away those funds from roads. They have to go to roads. Well, that was a bunch of nonsense. And most people knew it as soon as it was out of his mouth. They did. They have now ripped off the funds. There's articles in the Sacramento Bee that talk about it. Newsom wants California to use gas tax money for rail projects. Doesn't that sound like how the intent of that money was to be spent? I've got copies for Frank and Brian, and I'll get copies to the rest of you. But again, switching bait and switch and bait, whatever.
State of Jefferson, Bill.
Thank you.
Oh, they're different. Okay. Okay.
All of these two are different.
Okay.
John?
Well, John Campbell again. And then after this, we're going to go get a generator, I think. But that's the state we live
in. I'll say this. My wife just sent me a text message. The schools are looking for backup generators. Can the county help them? And I think the schools should call CARB and say, what happened to those generators that you had sent to scrap and you had holes blown through the motor blocks or sent out of the state?
I think I may have told you privately, but City of Ione had two generators sitting there the whole time. just sitting there that they couldn't use because of the CARB regulations. And there were people in this county that desperately needed some for some municipal work, but they just couldn't use them.
I told my wife they may have one down there, so maybe she'll tell them what you think.
There's not going to be any cameras because the power will be out. You could probably go take it, but I digress.
You might get thrown in jail for crimes against the people's state, though.
Yeah.
Using a generator to stay alive.
Well, it's a bigger crime than needles on the street, but anyways, I digress.
Digress, so.
Last time I was here and we were talking about this very subject, we were talking about SB1 and how its intention was for the roads, and I wanted to, you know, talk about just something Bill just touched upon, which is Gavin Newsom made an executive order and is rating it for affordable housing and climate change. I mean, that happened. It was during Climate Action Week, and this goes back to why we don't trust things like this. we just simply do not trust the government to do what they say they're going to do. Well, why would we? Because time after time, it does not happen. You know, every time, we need more money, we're out. We give them more money, and it never goes to the things that it was intended to go to. You know? Plus, I also wanted to comment, last time I was here, you guys were going to maybe possibly take action because there was some conjecture that the municipalities locally were on board with this thing. After that meeting, I contacted these local municipalities and they didn't know anything about it. You know,
I wouldn't say that's quite correct.
The city manager sent an email and then that's okay, Plymouth's on board. Well, I talked to the Plymouth.
I'll agree with what you're saying there, John, but I wouldn't say they didn't know anything about it.
They knew that it was on board, but for Robin to come here and say...
They hadn't had a vote on it.
For Robin to come here and say, hey, they're on board, is asinine. Because my mom's on that council. As soon as I left this meeting, I called her and she said, we haven't even discussed the matter. So, really, we need transparency for this thing.
That's why we're putting together the white papers so that could be circulated amongst all the governing boards or, you know, the council.
Well, I want to commend you on your due diligence to getting more information out for it, Frank.
That's what we can do. I look forward to the case.
Yeah. I look forward to reading it all, obviously.
Thank you.
But I think if you guys are going to essentially endorse a tax, I think all these municipalities have to go on the record voting for it. That's something I would just demand that happens. You can't just use conjecture and, the city manager sent an email, so we're cool. Robin says it's cool in Cedar Creek. I live in Cedar Creek. I haven't heard this discussed or seen it on an agenda.
Okay.
You know, I can't fathom that being the way government works. But thank you.
Thank you.
Well,
John,
you even have Democrats, Senator Bell, chair of the Senate Transportation Committee, and can't remember his name now. Assembly Transfer Frazier, Transportation Committee member of the chair of the Assembly, who are chastising the governor because that's exactly what they're saying. You're hurting us and the integrity of the system by what you're doing. You can't help that you have a progressive governor coming in and doing crazy things like this, but you even have his own party chastising him for what he's doing.
Well, if you're a conservative Democrat in Madera, you still have to go back to your district in 2 years and justify some of these things, and it's hard to. It's a hard pill to swallow.
Yeah.
I meant to mention on this tax, I was researching our neighboring counties. With this tax, we'd be a full percent higher than El Dorado County, and we were talking about how sales taxes are regressive.
Yes.
Well, El Dorado County is building Costco's, and all these things, they're talking about building a Costco in Silva Parkway right on the border of El Dorado Hills. We're talking about raising taxes a percent higher than them while they're offering more services for a lower price. You know, that's something we really need to think about. Sometimes if you get that percent, you might lose the other 7.25. So,
thank you, John. Any other members of public? Okay. We'll see you none. Thank you, Frank.
Thank you, Chairman Nieto.
And we're to move on. Item 5D is minutes for Tuesday, October 8th, 2019.
Move approval of the minutes with corrections.
Second.
Okay, you got it.
Second was Brown.
Jeff.
Next, we have our addendum. And thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Carries unanimous. Now we have addendum. Thank you, Pat. This is a discussion of possible action regarding a request from Tri-County Wildlife and APAL and Humane Society to amend the CC&R for parcel located at 12351 Trade Center Drive, kind of near the McDonald's. Would you like to come up?
Was there someone going to tee it up? Okay, good.
Good morning. I'm Robin Rehart. I'm here to represent both Tri-County Wildlife Care and APAL Humane Society. So, as you know, we appeared before you recently. Since that time, we've gone into escrow on the property, and when the CC&Rs came to light, title search, what was discovered is that in 1989, to approve the Jackson Creek veterinary clinic that the Board of Supervisors had approved the addendum for you today, which would be an amendment to the CCNRs at that specific location. So that is what we are requesting for the parcel we're in escrow with also.
Okay. Well, thank you.
I only had one question. I couldn't figure out on the declaration of amendment to Garamendi Industrial Park, the first one was 7/23/89, but then the last page of what we have shows a resolution for September 14th of 99. I wasn't really sure what amendment was made at that time.
In 89 is when the Board of Supervisors had approved it, and I believe there was another lot split that occurred, which is why the dates kept getting.
Well, and it said to allow the construction, that amendment was the construction and operation of a small animal clinic. Now, what was, that was 89. What was done in 99? Another
I believe
split?
That was the dog bed and breakfast next door to it.
Okay. That would make sense. But just, we didn't have the attached paperwork to show that. So
I had a question maybe for Greg. I thought CCNRs were something basically a developer did. I didn't know counties are normally involved in those.
We're involved because we're a member. We're property owner. And to amend the CCNRs,
okay,
we all have to sign, just like all the other
okay
property owners.
All right.
That's why it's here.
That makes sense.
That makes sense.
I have a question, too, Greg, on... When they were here last time, we made it very clear they were going to need a use permit.
Well,
this would not supersede
this,
that.
This doesn't change the zoning issue. This is a sort
okay
of a separate hurdle
so
from
the
CCR.
So the use permit hurdle would still be valid.
The issue that we talked about before either exists or doesn't exist, however it worked out. But this is separate.
Okay.
Two separate tracks.
All right.
And we would be very careful to follow your direction from the previous meeting with a building and everything.
I just wasn't sure myself.
I think we did have a solution that didn't require a use permit. So this would still follow those.
Okay.
You know, one question I'd have, too, is as far as it is right to base the airport, there has been some concern over that as far as... If they put, you know, animals outside, could it attract things, to, you know, in the way of the flight path? And I was wondering about, could it be a possibility to have an navigation easement restriction placed in that property? As far as that they understand the airport's there and...
Yeah, it's something that the board can ask or in exchange for... agreeing to amend the CCNRs that they could sign a navigation easement, which basically recognizes that the airport is there and it's going to continue, and you can't, oh, the airport's a nuisance to us, we want the airport to go away. The church has one, other properties in that area have similar, I don't know that whether you guys have or one or not, but it, like I said, the church across the street, they had to. So that could be a request from the board in exchange for agreeing to amend the CCNRs that would agree to navigation easement that recognizes that planes have the right to fly over.
Well, and that was one of the things that when we did consider the property, we are very aware the airport is there and actually makes it a very good location for us. There's not going to be a lot of buildings, not a lot of people wandering through the location. So we're happy to comply with anything like that.
Okay. Would that be good enough then? We'll make that one of the conditions.
Yeah, and then I can communicate with you and show you the form. And
will that need to be in the motion?
Yes.
Okay. Any members of the public like to comment? Seeing none. Board?
What was that additional part that had to be?
An navigation easement for the airport.
Well, I'll
Move to approve the request to authorize board chair to sign the declaration of amendment to the Garamendi Industrial Park CC&Rs for the County of Amador and to include the aviation easement.
Yeah, in exchange for a navigation easement for the airport.
In exchange for a navigation easement for the airport, yeah.
Have a second?
Second.
Sounds like he's there again. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Carries unanimous. Thank you. We have a 10:30 public hearing. So for right now, we're going to take a probably like a 10-minute break. We'll come back at 10:30.